The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. The whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. My sisters and brothers, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
The healing of Simon's mother-in-law is Jesus' first healing in Mark's gospel. Last week we read how Jesus did his first exorcism in a place that was communal. It was a public space. Now his first healing is in someone's home. It's a private place. Think about our mission, how we are sent into the community to share the love of Jesus. We proclaim, worship, and praise our Lord publicly. We call out and cast out those demons, knowing the love of Jesus has healed and saved us. But we don't leave it here. We bring that liberating love with us as we minister in those private spaces God calls us to be throughout our daily lives. Let us reflect on Simon's mother-in-law, because I believe we can all relate to her in some way. Perhaps you've been physically ill and longed for that restoration. Maybe you have seen people in your life ill and watched them going through in illness and longing for healing, longing for their healing. I know in watching both my parents die from cancer, there was certainly the prevailing thought in wrestling with one's mortality, but I also noticed in their journey there was a profound loss in their suffering of not being able to do certain things. It was being too sick to do the things they wanted to do, or not being able to do certain things to the fullness of their ability. Now, you don't need a terminal illness to have such an experience. Just being sick and being out of commission for a while, we can all long to return to the duties and the activities in our daily lives that we can't do while we're sick. Now, it's very easy to look over Simon's mother-in-law. She doesn't have a name, for one. And her story, as we know it, is confined to two verses. Now, once she is healed, she serves those in her home. And that Greek word for service, for her serving, is the word where we get the word deacon. That's what people who I've seen ill miss doing so much. They miss using their God-given gifts to serve others in the ways they have been accustomed to throughout their lives. Now, because we're all mortal and we're not immune to illness and the realities that come with growing older, this can also be a spiritual struggle for us. Can we escape and avoid such a fate? We might do what we can to be as healthy as we can. We might do what we can to slow the aging process down if possible. Yet underneath those efforts might not simply just be these virtuous attempts to take care of our bodies because they're temples of the Holy Spirit. There might be a fearful, sinful way at work here It might just be wanting to be in control. Now, I have said to people wrestling with an illness, wondering why or if God has done this to them. I'm clear when I say this, and I believe this. God did not fail you here. Your body did. And it's because our bodies will fail us at some point that God gives us the gift of eternal life. Now, we must make no mistake about it. We must be good stewards of our bodies. We must seek to protect the well-being and health of those around us. But let's not make that into an idol. See, the devil loves to take good things that we should be doing and cause us to obsess with them, where that becomes a way in which we put that above God, right? That's the easiest trick for the devil. It's to take something good and make us obsess and worship that over our Lord. Now, what does Jesus do here? He's revealing for us, in the healing of Simon's mother-in-law, his mission and ministry. Notice the healing is not contingent upon her faith. See, I think throughout Mark's gospel, we'll hear, your faith has made you well, right? We don't hear that here. Jesus is coming to her through his faithfulness to restore her. And she's restored in mind, body, and spirit. Now, I also believe that this verse has some spiritual implications for us, and it can remind us of the baptismal life that we've entered into through that sacrament. We hear in verse 31 of chapter 1 of Mark, Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. Now, the Greek might be better translated here as he took her by the hand and raised her up. When we are washed anew through the waters of holy baptism, Jesus comes to us and raises us up to new life. And as we're raised to new life, it's a new life of diakonia. It's a life of service, of Christian service to our neighbor and to those around us. We use our God-given gifts and abilities as part of our Christian love and witness, as being part of God's new creation, with the gift of eternal life underway. Simon's mother-in-law reminds us of the value of our everyday work. I mean, what does she essentially do? She doesn't book a flight to go on the next mission trip, right? She gets up and she uses her gifts to provide hospitality to those who are in her home. Now, mission trips and service projects are great and important, but following Jesus Christ, being raised up and given the ability to live into diakonia, into Christian service, is a way of life that we're called to. And if it's a way of life, then it's going to affect us and transform us daily. And I imagine at the heart of it, the gifts that Simon's mother-in-law has was used to provide hospitality throughout her life. And I invite you to ponder, what are your gifts and how have you used them? How do you use them? And I invite you to pray that your heart and mind would be open for God to continue to make use of those gifts and abilities that you have. Now, at the end of our gospel lesson today, when Simon and his companions find Jesus as he went away to go and pray, they inform Jesus that, hey, everyone's searching for you. Now, it might not seem like it, but I believe that maybe now more than ever in our society, people are searching for Jesus, whether they know it or not. They are people who are exhausted. They are people who are desperate. They are people who do not see light in the darkness. Now, in sharing their struggles, we too know their pain. We know their experiences and we know their grief because we're human. We have these experiences too. But we also know Jesus, who has raised us up. We may relate to being out of commission due to illness or have watched loved ones go through that experience of illness and losing a sense of their control and losing a sense of certain ability to do certain things. So we too can relate to the fear of not being fully in control. Yet when turning to Jesus who has come to us, who has raised us up during that fear and that pain that we experience, knowing that we surrender ourselves to the love of God, we can share with those who are searching, with those who are afraid, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Mark Marius points out that Jesus does more in his ministry than just fight the powers of darkness and sin. He trusts. Make no mistake about it. The darkness we experience in this world and in this life is real. But we turn to the one who fully trusted the one who sent him all the way to the cross and grave, knowing that he wouldn't be left there. When we practice our faith by gathering to worship, we're given the gift of faith to trust in the abilities of God. The gifts of the word and sacraments remind us that we are not cut off, that we are not living in isolation when we are afraid, but like Simon's mother-in-law, we are restored to full communion with God and with the people of God. Even when we experience physical limitations produced by age, illness, or injury, we're still able to put our trust in the power of God through Jesus Christ. And like the God who comes to us, the Christian way of life is to be generous towards others, to serve them. Gathered as church, we are fed and then we are sent to serve by sharing the love of Jesus because, like Simon's mother-in-law, we have been raised and we have been created and invited to be part of this new creation and have been given the gift of abundant and eternal life. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen.